Welcome to The More Perfect Union, a podcast about the joy we get from American politics, or as we like to call it around here, real debate without the hate. Hello, I'm Kevin Kelton. I'm a television writer living in Los Angeles and the founder of Open Fire, one of the premier political debate groups on Facebook.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Kuschmider. I'm a social policy advocate, a writer, and a stay-at-home mom from Kensington, Maryland.
Hi, I'm Molly Molloy Cooper. I'm a senior lecturer of economics at The Ohio State University, living in Columbus, Ohio.
And I'm Greg Matuszak, a teacher and veteran of many political campaigns from Cincinnati, Ohio. The Cincinnati, Ohio. There you go. There you go.
Not a Cincinnati, Ohio, but the Cincinnati, Ohio.
Exactly. Greek chili.
The More Perfect Union can now be heard on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Facebook, and at our website, moreperfectunionpodcast.com, where you can also find written commentary by DJ and other contributors. And by the way, you can also find Rebecca's writing at her website, stayathomepundit.com, where she likes to muse about politics and other topics. Rebecca, have you put anything up in the last week or so?
Why, yes, Kevin. I was rage blogging earlier this week, which means that my latest essay is not safe for work or children. It might have a record number of F-bombs in it. I was sitting there on my couch watching MSNBC, and because I'm liberal, and the story about Al Franken groping a woman in a photograph broke, and I'm sitting there thinking, "Damn it, Al! Damn it! Damn it!" And then a white guy gets on, who's known Roy Moore for 25 years, and starts defending Roy Moore, and I'm like, "You're kidding me with this! You're kidding me with this! We got the good guys doing the groping and the bad guys defending other bad." And I'm like, my head exploded because it just drives me nuts to see the way people will leap to defend the indefensible.
Okay, well, that's our show. Good night, everybody.
It's Rebecca Rages. That's the show. I get so angry.
I was going to say, that's a lot.
Pretty much covered our entire topic list.
Well, you asked me what was on my blog. That's what's on my blog, but with more F-bombs.
Wow.
So, first of all, you know, you said something that caught me by surprise. Was Al Franken in the news this week?
Al. He's lying low. Keep it to himself.
Okay, so let's start on the topic that pretty much everyone in America who's interested in the political scene at all is talking about, which is sexual harassment, sexual misconduct amongst politicians, but also amongst people in the entertainment profession, and truly across the board in every profession. It seems to have taken to a new level this week. Last week about Louis C.K., of course, Roy Moore is in the news about his alleged indiscretions, which I think are more than alleged. And now Al Franken this week and a few others. So let me start, since we've already heard from Rebecca. Molly, just generally speaking, you know, you're a conservative. So I'm just curious what your whole take on this thing was.
Oh, my gosh. How much time do I have?
You have all the time you need.
All right. So with the Roy Moore, I guess I agree with Peggy Noonan, as I usually do, that the Alabama women should rise up and get him to go away so that they can, you know, mount a write-in campaign, I guess, for Strange, you know, be the clear one there. Clearly, there is something to him being, you know, attracted to teenage girls but it is a little bit weird. You know, a lot of this comes from 40 years ago. I mean, we're talking about the late 70s and the early 80s, and that there haven't been more recent. So I'm very frustrated with him that he just doesn't say, look, I was that way, and now I've had this awakening, and I don't do that anymore. But instead, he's going, you know, the way of this is a witch hunt, which is just, you know, not appropriate. My husband actually ran a marathon in Mississippi, so was driving through Alabama and heard local Alabama talk radio, and one of the commentators, who was a conservative, said that he has interviewed all of the women and all of their attorneys and finds them to be very credible. So,
wow,
yeah, but then this piece of evidence that the most serious charges are being leveled by a woman who he was the judge that processed her divorce. And
yeah, but you know, sometimes that's just a signature. You don't even see the person. I went through a divorce case. I never saw one judge that handled my divorce. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, I haven't been through that, but I just thought that, you know, that kind of threw it back into reasonable doubt with me, because I would be like, oh no, you know, even if she didn't want to, you know, go through the shame of admitting that she sexually assaulted, I mean, it just threw reasonable doubt to me that she didn't say, oh no, he has to be recused from this. We had a relationship, you know, many years ago.
Like I said, I mean, I don't know what it's like in Alabama, but in my state, paperwork goes to the court and judges sign off on it. And you sometimes are never in a courtroom. You never see that judge. And my understanding is that this divorce did not go to any type of a hearing. Yeah. That it was that she rescinded it or something. He just signed the papers.
Okay.
So she might not have even known.
So it was just a coincidence?
Yeah.
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 So he's saying that, you know, the women need to go through a polygraph. No, he needs to go through.
Yeah, that would be cheaper. One polygraph is cheaper than seven.
Yeah, I agree.
Molly, I agree with something that you said, which is, and I'm a Democrat, and obviously, I'm hoping that Roy Moore does not win the Senate seat. I would have liked him to resign, and I have a big problem with his relationship with a 14-year-old. But as you said, if he had come out and said, you know, that was 30, 40 years ago, I've been married to my wife for 30 years, I realize that, you know, some of the things I did as a younger man, I certainly don't condone now, that would have gone a long way to helping me get beyond it. I don't know whether I would have changed my position, but it certainly would have mitigated it for me. So I agree with you there. Greg, what do you think?
Well, before we move on, and as long as we're staying with this, John Oliver did a piece maybe a week or two ago about the Trump presidency and his effect on the presidency. And one of his points was, what about? And I think this is really important at this point before we move on is – everything, a lot of the things Trump says is when he's asked a direct question, he says, well, what about this? And Fox has been doing this for a while. In fact, a lot of news companies, whenever asked a question about morality or something, they said, well, what about this person? And it kind of says then, if this person can get away or if this person can get away, there is no moral aspect of it. And there, so we can just forgive anything. If your side is doing it and my side is doing it, then anything is okay. So we can't look at these things as Roy Moore, Al Franken, Louis C.K. We have to look at each case individually.
Absolutely.
Right. So that's really important. We can't say Roy Moore, well, what about Al Franken? Well, what about Louis C.K.? So it's really important to, when we say at the beginning, Roy Moore, Al Franken, Louis C.K., Kevin Spacey, Weinstein.
Bill Clinton.
Oh my gosh, I'm running out of breath here. Bill Clinton.
Donald Trump.
Exactly. And in fact, that's been coming
Anthony
up.
Anthony Weiner. Dennis
Hastert.
Donald Trump. Oh, thank
Foley.
You.
There's plenty of them.
We can't say that because we lose fact of the morality of this. We have to look at each one of these individually.
Okay. So let's do that. I think we can all agree that Roy Moore, if the allegations are true, Roy Moore certainly has a lot to answer for.
Even if the allegations are not true, as a candidate, okay? As a candidate, he should. Okay, let's talk about Al Franken for a moment.
I'm curious about Al Franken, and I'm going to go around, and I'm going to start with you, Rebecca. Everybody knows what Al Franken is accused of. He has acknowledged that he misbehaved. He has apologized, in my mind, sincerely, but that's up to the individual. You may disagree.
The individual has accepted his apology,
and the person involved has accepted it, but, of course, that doesn't mean that here or anybody else has to accept it. My question is, considering everything we know to this moment, should Al Franken be expected to step down to resign from his Senate seat?
This is a hard question. There are two aspects to the allegations against Al Franken. If he was physically laying hands on a woman without her consent, that is assault and needs to be dealt with. If he was posing with a sleeping woman and not actually touching her, which some people have analyzed the photo and said that's what happened, he was playing a humiliating prank on her, and that needs to be addressed in different ways. you know, I don't want to say Al Franken should lose his seat. Part of me really wants to punt this and say it's up to the voters in Minnesota, but they don't get a chance to decide this until 2022.
2020. You mean 2020 also. 2020 also.
No. He's not on cycle till 2022.
No, 2020.
Wait, Rebecca, before we go on, because last week you said it's not just up to the voters of Alabama, because
right? No,
Roy
and that's
Moore
that's
will
the
have
thing.
An effect on you.
And here's the.
And so I hate to use your words because that's a huge effect on you.
Weighing the act, Al Franken did a one-time, very poor judgment, possibly assault thing, and he is showing contrition and an ability to grow and learn. Absent criminal charges, maybe he shouldn't leave the Senate, but maybe he should. This is hard.
Okay. So you're torn on it. And by the way, I wish that the listeners could see your face, because we could see in your look how you're struggling with this. Molly, I'm going to go to you next. What do you think?
I'm going to say, as of what is known now, it's not resignable, but it's new. And, you know, there could be subsequent charges which could be different. I think his first effort at an apology was lame. I don't remember it that way. But then later, a letter he sent to her directly was much better.
Look, I have said this many times on this podcast, that I'm a huge Franken fan. I have all his books. And I've actually even said that he should run for vice president in 2020. And that has all changed. That has all gone out the window. But without a doubt, this is all new. If new evidence comes to light, if the photographer comes forward and said, oh yeah, or if any of the other USO officials said, oh yeah, he definitely touched her, he's out. I really want to see what the ethics panel, which he has agreed to, and he's, you know, said, yeah, this is a great idea. But for the most part, for me, you're right. The first apology was terrible, and it was heartbreaking. But the second one, it was refreshing to see when one of these allegations came forward, I apologize. And I understand he wasn't a political official, and this was probably, I don't want to say the climate of the time, and for a celebrity, acceptable.
Again, another person who thinks probably should resign.
And I hate to use that term.
I want to put a microscope or a magnifying glass over what happened in the Franken thing. I'm going to be the outlier here. I think what he did was wrong. I think the entire world is overreacting, and I know I'm going to get a lot of heat for saying this, but let me explain myself. First of all, there are two incidents that we're looking at when we're talking about the Al Franken incident. So let's break them up. One is the photograph that was taken off stage, not on stage. There's some debate as to whether he made contact with the woman or his hands were simply hovering over her. The other question is, was she truly asleep? Was she actually pretending to be asleep? Was this part of a staged photograph? I've heard that it was a staged photograph, but I don't know that we know definitively yes or no. And let's remember, she was wearing a flak jacket. It's not like he was actually putting his hands to her breast. He was putting them to her breast area. So,
okay.
I know that listen, I know that there are people that are going to see it differently. Just do me this favor.
I'm
understand
listening.
That I represent some portion of how some people think. Okay. So that's one thing. Okay. The other thing is, you know, having worked on SNL, and you guys know this, but for our listeners who may not listen all the time, I was also a writer on Saturday Night Live. I didn't work with Al, although I have talked to him and had some interactions with him. But I believe I have a little bit of a window into that mindset. Al Franken is not the type of guy who walks around honking women's breasts. He just isn't. It's just not his sense of humor. So I don't know what he was thinking of in that moment with a camera there. Who knows what was happening just ahead of it. But this is not the type of guy who pats women on the ass, who, you know, honk, honk, who would make jokes like that. Not because he's not a sexist man, but because it's not his sense of humor. Okay. He has a very wry, very subtle sense of humor. He's not a bawdy type of character.
So are you thinking jet lag or?
No. I don't know what was going through his mind. And he says he doesn't know what was going through his mind. So let's not try to psychoanalyze it. I think a lot of people have jumped to conclusions about this incident. You know, people are ready to lynch this guy and they forget he was overseas in a war zone entertaining our troops. People always talk about supporting the troops. It's easy for you and I to see some guy in line at Ralph's who has his uniform on and say, thank you for your service. This man flew overseas into a war zone multiple times to entertain the troops.
As did Ms. Tweeton, who apparently got groped. And,
well, she
did
not get
groped,
Molly. She did not get groped.
She got humiliated and, you know,
no, she
was
did
the
not
butt
get,
of this joke.
She did not get humiliated.
Potentially.
Okay?
Potentially.
If you've seen any of the videos on YouTube, she's done stuff like this. There's a video of Robin Williams where she put her leg around Robin Williams in a sexual position in front of the troops. So please, let's not get high horse about this, okay?
Maybe that was something Robin Williams was fine.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
But I've made this point a couple of times this week on Facebook and on other groups, which is, you know, if you're going to accuse Al Franken of sexual molestation because of a rehearsed kiss for a comedy sketch, then you better throw Johnny Carson in there. You better throw Bob Hope in there. You better throw Dean Martin in there. You better throw Robin Williams in there. And you better throw about a couple of hundred other iconic American actors and comedians, because kissing in scenes is a part of American entertainment.
But there are often ground rules in performances. There's a story that Lawrence Fishburne tells about filming What's Love Got to Do with It, which is the biopic about Ike and Tina Turner. And it's a scene with him and Angela Bassett in the recording studio. And anyone who's seen the movie will remember it, where Ike sexually assaults, rapes Tina in a very small sound booth. And it's a dramatic and extremely affecting scene. Lawrence Fishburne agreed only to one take. He was not willing to put himself or Angela Bassett through that more than once. Stage kisses are extremely well choreographed in my experience. I remember doing a musical where there was a kiss in the middle of a song, and it was literally kiss, two, three, four, break, look, sing.
But you don't
if
know that that didn't happen
here. If two people are
performing,
they have to trust each other.
You don't know that that didn't happen here. You have one woman who is describing one kiss.
And it is incumbent upon us to believe her.
Really?
What benefit is she getting about lying about this? Because right now there are people coming out and attempting to destroy her character. The character assassination of every woman who's made an allegation in the past few weeks is astonishing and frankly disappointing to me. And this Ms. Tweeden is experiencing this is what happened.
And does lead into why didn't they say something earlier? Because when you say something, then they're like, here's you with Robin Williams and you're a big slut,
yeah.
So nobody should
go on YouTube and look at the Robin Williams video before you.
I have seen
judgment.
It, and we don't know that she agreed to that with him.
She
this
did
thing
it
with
to
Al
him.
Franken, she didn't want to do
she
this.
She did it to him. He didn't do it to her. She wrapped her leg around him.
Right, yeah, I know, but. But he's dead, and we can't agree that they didn't work this out ahead of time and both agree to it.
Work it out ahead of time. That's called what? Rehearsal.
Rehearsing.
Rehearsal.
Yeah.
Well, yes, but she's saying that she didn't want to rehearse it, and he just kept on dogging her, and finally she's like, okay. And then, you know, he was overly aggressive with the kiss.
Okay. So that's as close as we're going to come to a grip on that issue.
There is one guy in Ohio.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about
there
that.
There is
yeah.
one guy in Ohio. Yeah, there's a guy who's running for governor in Ohio. Bill O'Neill, who I need to say this before we even talk about him. I used to work for Bill O'Neill. I've worked for him twice on two different campaigns. So, and Bill O'Neill is a state Supreme Court justice, and he has come out defending Al Franken also. So, Kevin, you are not alone. Okay, so
Ed in very good company.
Let's, You are in very good company. But Bill O'Neill put out that he, I'm trying to find his exact words because I really want to make sure I say this. Bill O'Neill put out that not only did he think that he said, let the dogs of war who are calling for the head of Al Franken, I believe it's time to speak up for all heterosexual males. And as a candidate for governor of Ohio, I need to let you know about my sexual past. And then he went on to talk about some of his sexual past. And he went on to say that he slept with over 50
women. Well, he's never been married, so, yeah.
Wow. So let's make it clear. It used to be that we asked candidates, especially presidential candidates, to show us their tax returns. Now we're living in a society where they have to tell us about their sexual history.
Yeah, they're going to have to show us their Tinder account. Or Grindr, in some cases.
So, Greg, how detailed did he get?
That's it.
How detailed did he get?
At one point, he talked about having an hour and a half session, lovemaking session with a beautiful blonde, he said, and recently having a beautiful time with a redhead in Cleveland.
Whoa, beautiful!
But he named their employers. He mentioned locations where he was all but outing these women who did not consent to it.
I don't know if he needed to. He discussed his first time losing his virginity, and he felt like this was what he needed to help heterosexual men. And this was his.
So yes. Apparently he's throwing Kevin Spacey to the wolves. You know?
but there was also an anti-gay lawmaker who got in trouble this
week. Wasn't there? A House of Representatives.
Goodman?
Goodman. Wes Goodman in Ohio got caught. And
so what happened there?
So in Ohio again, and I don't feel like anyone should be outed unless they feel like it is a necessary time, unless it is a person who has written anti-gay legislation or has backed anti-gay legislation. I say throw those people to the wolves. I have no sympathy, and I guess that's not the kindest thing I've ever said.
Okay, but what happened here?
He got caught in his office with having sex with someone from his office. And at that point, he was like, I guess I should step down from my platform. He actually worked on the Romney campaign. And same thing, but...
Okay, so we're going to have a little fun now.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to have a little fun because...
As much fun as Bill O'Neill? It sounds
not
like he's
as
been
much
having
as Bill.
A lot of fun. 50 different partners
tell.
Worth of fun.
We are not having that much fun.
let's get on to the fun
part. The question that a lot of people are debating, although we all seem to be in general agreement that it's probably too soon to demand Al Franken's resignation. But a lot of people feel differently. They feel that he should have stepped down right away. They feel that any sexual impropriety, or for that matter, any impropriety, is good enough reason for somebody to have to give up a seat. And of course, the classic example is Bill Clinton, who fought it out. He was impeached but not convicted, and he was allowed to finish out his term. So we're going to see how well Bill remembers some less known incidents of impropriety and whether the person stayed or resigned from office. I'm going to go around to each of you.
I'm going to start with Rebecca.
Then I'm going to go to Molly and then to Greg. And here's the ground rules. Don't yell it out if you know it. It goes to one person first. And then if they don't know the answer, the other two people have a shot at it. Okay. And it's a long list. So let's get going. Okay. We'll start. I'm going to try to give Rebecca a harder one. Rebecca, let's see. I'm looking at my list. I want to give you one that's going to test you a little bit. David Patterson, did he stay or did he resign? And by the way, you also have to say what his alleged misdeed was.
Patterson was
Governor David Patterson.
Governor of New York, am I correct?
Yes.
He was governor of New York, and it was minor. It was off-color remarks, I think. And he stayed.
No,
that's
it was
knowledge,
sexual.
But I don't remember the scandal.
Okay, anybody else?
Yeah, I remember he was a Democrat, at the very least. That
he
too.
And his wife each had affairs with other people. Somehow that became public. It was a big scandal, and yet he stayed. He did not resign.
So you're okay. you're equal opportunity, at least.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Next, we go to Molly. Molly.
Give me an easy one.
By the way, some of these are going to be very easy, but they get harder as we go on. Molly, John Ensign.
Wasn't he?
Do you remember
with
him?
Prostitutes, I thought.
Okay, Greg.
And I think he did resign.
He was from Nevada.
Yes,
I know of that. And he was a congressman.
Nope, senator.
Yeah, I sat next to him in a restaurant once.
Yes,
senator. Sorry.
He was having an affair with the wife of someone that worked for him. His chief
senator,
of staff's
he
wife.
Was having an affair
that was
with
right.
a donor's wife.
And it was very weird. Oh, this would be in the eighth or ninth.
John Stafford's wife.
Yeah,
and it was
yeah.
very, very
and,
weird.
He resigned.
He resigned.
Just a couple of
okay.
years ago.
Okay, Greg,
no,
you're up
I don't
next.
Remember.
I want to go through these because there's really a lot of them. David Vitter.
Give me Anthony Weiner. David Vitter. David Vitter was awesome. He was from he's a senator from Louisiana.
Yep. Senator.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm not sure whether he was a senator.
He was caught in a bathroom.
I'm not sure whether he was a senator or congressman, but anyways, go on.
And okay. he was a senator, and he was caught what? In a prostitution ring.
What year was
That's
this?
That's right.
He was a senator.
Did he stay or
and
did he resign?
He stayed, but
That's
he was
right.
not. He
That's
stayed,
right.
and he was and right. He stayed, but he was not convicted. The conviction was overturned. He was arrested,
right.
but he was not convicted.
Okay.
Yes, right. but it gets better.
Better how?
Diapers. Diaper Dave Vitter.
No. Well, he was in the New Orleans airport.
That was Larry Craig.
No. I thought.
Yeah.
I thought.
Vitter. Oh, that's oh, so. That's Craig the next one. That's the next one. Who wants to
oh,
take
Larry
Craig? Craig. Larry Craig. Who wants to take him?
Oh, I'm
in the
sorry.
Airport bathroom.
Oh, I got Larry Craig too. Larry Craig.
Did he stay
resigned.
Or did he resign?
The wide stance.
Oh, did he stay? I thought he resigned.
Did you know?
He stayed.
He stayed.
He stayed.
Yeah. To this day, when I'm in an airport bathroom, I actually stay with. I stand with my like feet like all the way.
He
together.
Was sitting. He was. Like, he was stand, on. Like, he was sitting in a stall,
straight.
And he like he did the tap 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 thing with his foot on the guy next to
oh
him.
Oh my gosh!
And apparently, he also cruised
that.
The Union Station
yeah, Larry
train station
the
bathroom in DC,
yep.
which the, are the most disgusting bathrooms in DC. I'm constantly grossed out by him on germ grounds.
Okay.
Is it why you're
Who,
right?
Whose turn is it? I've lost track. Whose turn is it? Is Rebecca?
I think it's Molly's.
Molly's turn. Okay, Molly. Mark Foley.
I know this one really well.
Okay, somebody guess it because Molly looks
you,
like
you should just
Mark Foley. No, Mark Foley was a congressman who was caught making sexually suggestive messages to house pages who were teenagers.
Yeah,
sexting pages,
right. teenage boys. And
he did resign.
At the time this broke, my husband was working for Congressman Kildee, who was a member of the Page board, and my husband was his press secretary, so we were kind of living this. It was
oh,
upsetting.
No
like
kidding.
It was covered
okay.
up. Hastert knew about it, which in retrospect it was a bad scene.
That's
okay
terrible.
Okay, I'm going to keep this moving because there's a lot of people we have to get through.
Oh my gosh, that's so sad that there's a lot
Rebecca,
of people.
Rebecca, Barney
is,
Frank.
Is Bill Clinton, is...
Barney Frank was, yes, Barney Frank? Frank. Yeah, he did not resign. Well, he was dating a man who was basically running a prostitution ring out of their shared home.
Yes,
he did not resign.
Yes,
right?
boys.
And then he hired him as his assistant.
I think he resigned.
Yes, well... And this was when Barney Frank was still in the closet. He didn't necessarily want people to know he was gay, but he went to Tip O'Neill
really?
And said, you're
"I thought
the,
I
you're
thought that he was already out, but
oh,
okay.
maybe not."
Yeah,
I thought.
Okay, let's see. So now we'll go back to Greg. We'll go to you this time. Oh, this is a tough one, Greg. Eric Massa.
Oh, I know this one.
Oh, help me out then.
If you know it, go ahead.
Eric Massa, congressman who had tickle fights, quote unquote, tickle fights with his staff in his office, which, dude, you can't do that. And he did
resign.
Oh, yeah,
that's
you
right,
are.
A congressman from New York. Awesome. And
he did resign. I'll help you on the
Okay, Molly.
Yeah, tickle fight Massa.
Molly, I'm going to go to you. Tom DeLay.
Oh, the hammer.
Tom DeLay. Give you a hint. It's not sexual in nature.
Oh, man.
Not a sex scandal, just a scandal.
I was hoping you were going to say Sanford Foley. Let me think.
It was tied in with the Abramoff. It was campaign finance misconduct, and he was tied in with Jack Abramoff.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that it, Rebecca? I don't remember exactly. I know it was.
He went to jail. Didn't he go to jail?
Right. Phone a friend.
Campaign finance. Yeah. Yes.
And
take a guess,
I think
Molly.
He resigned.
Yes, he did. That's correct. He resigned. Good one.
He spent
Molly's doing well on
the time.
Yes, he did.
Oh, okay. I did not remember that, but I.
Okay, now I'm going to give some easy ones, so let's go through them quickly. Rebecca, I'm going to you. Okay. A gentleman named Bob Livingston.
Bob Livingston, he was an Ohio congressman, leadership, and it was something having to do with the same sex relationship, but I don't remember the nature of the relationship.
I thought you guys would get this one. I'm going to give you a hint. Newt Gingrich is the hint. We all know that Newt Gingrich resigned as Speaker of the House for affairs.
Had lots of affairs. Oh, that's right. Livingston was his successor and also had affairs.
Oh, he had an affair.
And how long did he last as Speaker of the House?
About 15 minutes.
It's a little bit less longer.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. What happened was Gingrich, this was in the middle of the Bill Clinton impeachment scandal. Newt Gingrich, of course, was vociferously, outspoken against Clinton until it came out that he was having affairs and he had to resign. Bob Livingston, who was in the leadership, became the new Speaker of the House. He spoke out against Clinton, and then his affair became public, and he was forced to resign. And I remember watching this very clearly. He made an impassioned speech on the floor of the Senate, I believe, or maybe it was the floor of the House, on a Saturday morning when he said, I am acknowledging my mistake and I am resigning as Speaker of the House. Again, he'd only been Speaker for a few days. And he said, and I challenge Bill Clinton to do the same thing. Do what I am doing. Do what Newt Gingrich did. Do the right thing and resign. And, of course, Bill Clinton just ignored him. So that's that story right there.
It's not funny, but it's kind of fun.
We still have more on the list, believe it or not. Are you guys bored with this game yet? Or?
No, it's not funny. I mean, it's what's the word? Oh, it's sad. That's the word. Sad.
Okay.
Sad.
I'm gonna go over some of the easy ones and go to the harder ones.
Are there any women on this list?
Not a single one.
The only female sex scandal that I know of, in modern political.
Oh, please say Margaret Thatcher. Margaret Thatcher. Please. DJ.
No.
Say Margaret Thatcher.
It's Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley?
Nikki Haley.
Yeah, but that
she
never
had
really
an
got
affair
any
with a staffer.
That never really got any legs.
I didn't even know that.
I don't think that was best.
You know, I know someone who defends sexual harassment cases, corporate sexual harassment cases, and I said to him, like, okay, level with me. Is it ever women? And he's like, oh, no. No, it's never women. So vote for more women. That's the answer.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, please say Giuliani's on the next. Is the next one?
No, Giuliani is not on my list. But I'm going to give you some hard ones. I have so many left; it's unbelievable. Does the name Dennis DeConcini mean anything to anyone?
Oh, that one, no.
Alan Cranston. Does that name mean anything to anyone?
No, that one goes no.
Does the name John Glenn,
Adam Cranston?
Does John Glenn mean anything to anyone?
John
no.
Glenn?
John yes. Glenn is a, is the no. John Glenn
the
is
astronaut?
Well, he was a he I mean, do you have anything besides he was in the Keating Five. It's not I mean other than
the
that.
Keating
I mean, that, that's
Five.
Scandal.
People
but,
forget.
Yes.
The
yes.
Keating Five. Alan yeah. Cranston, Senator John McCain.
Right.
Senator
McCain,
John
right.
Glenn.
Yep.
Representative right. Ronald Riegel. And Representative Dennis DeConcini, all accused yes. of misappropriating money or taking bribes from this guy, Charles Keating, who ran Lincoln Savings into the ground, one of the greatest financial disasters of modern history. None of them resigned.
No, and actually,
so people. I want to make this point. People who keep talking about demanding resignations from a senator for having a photo taken, remember some of the things that people got away with and didn't resign for. Go ahead, Greg.
John, that kept John Glenn from running for presidency, from president, the next year.
Well, he ran in 84 and he didn't run again in 88. That's correct. Some
and
other names
was,
on the list.
He would have won. I know he would have won.
I'm going to go down the list. So here are some more people. Here are some more people that did resign. Okay, these are people that were caught and either were forced to resign or voluntarily resigned. Jim McGreevy, governor of New Jersey, caught in a gay scandal. Nothing wrong with that, by the way.
It wasn't even really a scandal. Yeah. He just came out. He just announced that he was gay and getting divorced from his wife.
Came out as gay. That's right. Right.
Yeah, that wasn't even a scandal.
Well, right. No, it was. It was. Like, at the time, it was a big scandal that there was a governor who was gay. It was a big scandal.
It was a
shock. What year was that?
I'd have to go back and look.
Did his wife know?
No, she did not know.
Like, yeah. Along with
she did not know, but she supported him. She was very supportive.
She found out. She did not know.
Okay. So I want to go through these. Elliot Spitzer, of course.
No, well, he
resigned. Aaron
representative
named Aaron Schock.
Oh, that's
who
a
was,
good one.
Got into trouble for using government funds to redecorate his office.
Well, it was much more, it turned out, he was basically using his PAC as a slush fund to live a very lavish lifestyle.
And he made his office look like Downton Abbey.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, that's right.
And that's awesome. And I don't even like Downton Abbey.
Well, anyway, so to wrap this up, you know, again, I know this is probably our least disciplined episode that we've done in a long time. We're having a lot of fun. But the point of it I wanted to make was that for every person that resigned amidst a scandal, there's one or more that stayed on. And so the idea that Al Franken should have to resign over a photograph was one actress said, well, he kissed me in a way that made me uncomfortable. To me, that's not only a step too far, but that's like an entire march too far. But again, you know, your mileage may vary, so everybody's going to have their own opinion. The other issue, we're well into the show now. My gosh, a lot further than I thought we'd get. But we did want to talk a little bit about the tax bill that's making its way through Congress. The House passed a version of it.
Yeah, passed the House.
It's passed the House.
Oh, it's passed Congress.
No, it hasn't passed the Senate yet.
The Senate is going to be voting on it probably this week, soon after Thanksgiving. They're very different bills. Molly, do you know, I'm going to throw it to you if you know the answer. Do you know in the major ways how they differ and how do you think this bill is going to fare in the Senate?
I think the biggest difference is the Senate bill has a rather large child credit. And I think actually there's a lag in the phase-in of the corporate tax cuts, and that is all that I can come up with right now. And
those are differences. There are a few others.
Yeah. I think it will pass, and I think it has to pass because they've had so many other failures. They have to have something that has to be able to come to be passed by 2018, or they're in real, real, real trouble. And so by hook or by crook, some way this is getting passed no matter what it takes, I think, is where we are.
I just saw something that Lisa Murkowski says she wants a separate healthcare vote. She doesn't want this Rand Paul amendment getting attached to it, and she's threatening to withhold her vote over that. I don't know that she would say that if she thought she was completely alone in that sentiment. So she may be trying to wheel or deal some sort of agreement to get a clean healthcare vote, because the last thing she wants to do is yank healthcare away from her constituents. I think something will happen by hook or by crook. It's all going to have to go to conference committee and get rewritten, because the House bill is too expensive for Senate rules. And They're in different places on a few things, and they'll need to hammer it out. And you know what? But that's regular order, and it's the way things happen. And we elected Republican majorities, and this is what they do. So nobody should be particularly surprised by provisions of the bill. If you don't like provisions of the bill, call your senator and see if they can amend it.
Yeah, I mean, it might not get passed with the repealing of the the mandate,
individual mandate. No, but that's too controversial. That's radioactive.
But I think it will get passed.
Right.
Yeah.
I disagree. I don't think it's going to get passed. I think it's going to get bantered around for the next,
five weeks. Like 3 days?
Roy Moore is going to lose.
Oh, yeah. They won't be back. They won't be in this week
exactly.
at all, I don't think.
And
they're usually off the whole week.
Yeah.
Right. And then Roy Moore is going to lose. And then we're going to see. We're going to see Jones come in from Alabama.
Yeah,
is that a special election? Yeah, interesting.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. It happens. Yeah, it happens fairly quickly. Special elections
after.
So here's the
election.
Thing. You kind
of and then all of a sudden
got
we
ahead
have
of
a,
my thinking.
Oh, did I do that? I'm sorry.
That's
then
okay.
We'll have a
keep going.
Then we'll have a
no.
Democratic
no.
Senate.
It's 48-52.
Won't the numbers switch over?
It depends on how you count Collins and Murkowski. So if you count them, then yes, you have a Democratic Senate.
Pretty
hold on,
much.
Hold on. I want to be
then
clear.
Then we have a Democratic
hold
Senate.
Hold on. I think in all of the crosstalk, we got a little confused. Right now, the Senate is 52-48. If Roy Moore loses, it will be 51-49. Okay?
Yep.
So
and
that means that they have
– one. Right.
They have a
margin,
a two vote. What do you call it? Margin, window of opportunity. So here's the problem that I see. First of all, I think that the Senate is going to vote on the bill with the provision to remove the Obamacare mandate. Already, Murkowski is having trouble with that, and Susan Collins is having trouble with that. And right there's two votes that you can't lose. A senator named Ron Johnson from Utah has already stepped up and said he's against it because of some other aspects of the bill. He thinks that there's too much in corporate taxes and it's unfair to middle-class voters, which, by the way, is what I think too. You still have Corker, who is not a definite vote for it. Who is not a definite vote for it, and Jeff Flake, who was kind of bullied by Trump into voting for the Obamacare repeal the last time, and he was a yes vote for the repeal. Flake now isn't running again, and he does not like Trump, and I don't think he likes this bill. And he also could be a potential no vote. So there is a possibility that they may go down again the way Obamacare did. But
it's possible.
If it does somehow get 50 votes and Mike Pence comes in to be the 51st vote and pass it, it goes to conference, as Rebecca pointed out. And the problem there is, you know, generally when a bill goes to conference, you're playing with wording, maybe a slight revision in the law from something that's more conservative to more liberal or vice versa. Here they're playing with absolute numbers. They have to stay under a $1.5 trillion loss on this bill, or else they cannot pass it out in reconciliation. And the problem is there are things in the congressional side, in the House side, that the Senate won't agree to. For instance, the House allows for a $10,000 state and local property tax deduction. It gets capped at $10,000. The Senate said, no, there's going to be no property tax deduction. Okay. The Senate wants to phase in the estate tax repeal. The House has it start day one. And there are several other really big differences between those two bills. So who's to say how those things are going to come out of a conference and whether, again, you know, you'll always be able to probably get 216 votes in the House. You could probably get that for a ham sandwich that wants to cut taxes. But to get it through the Senate is going to be very different. And as Greg pointed out, and it was going to be my kind of icing on the cake, if Roy Moore loses, if this fella Jones gets seated in Alabama. It's going to happen in December, and that's one more Democratic vote. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out.
I don't think Mitch McConnell will bring a vote to the floor unless he is certain he can win it. And I think he would prefer not to need Mike Pence in their playing tiebreaker. Because frankly, I've never seen a vice president get called in as many times in a 9-month period as I've seen Mike Pence show up. So McConnell is going to be very aware of the optics of this, and he's going to be willing to cut some deals to get this passed with a more comfortable margin than what he's seen on some other bills.
I got to say, and I know that I've been on my soapbox toward the end of the show here, but I'm going to say one more thing. Even if they can pass it with 50 or 51 or 52 votes, to rewrite the tax code of the United States on a purely partisan party line, to me, is a huge
I'm laughing because that's what happened with Obamacare.
You know what? That's okay. That's okay. Molly, I'm glad you brought that up because I'd like to respond to that. A couple of things. First of all, Obamacare was not actually all Democrats because a gentleman named Arlen Specter was a Republican and came over to the Democratic side because he wanted to vote for it.
Oh, okay.
So they actually got one vote in the Senate, although he became a Democrat at the same time. The other thing is there was one vote in Congress for the bill from a Republican from Louisiana who then lost his seat. Now, by the way, that's nitpicking because it's one vote in each chamber. And so I'm not saying, Molly, you're wrong. Molly, you're right. Obamacare was passed 99% along party lines.
Obamacare was passed on partisan lines, but it was written on bipartisan lines. It was done in regular order in committees. It was done with thousands of hours of stakeholder hearings from groups inside and outside government. It had multiple OMB scores. It was drafted over a period of almost 2 years. It was passed on party lines, but the writing of it was considerably more inclusive than anything that's happened in this Congress.
And with all that, they couldn't get more votes? That's amazing.
Of course they couldn't. Nobody ever does, Molly. The writing and the passing are two different animals. Nobody goes back and checks somebody's committee vote record or committee comments record. You don't go back and look at markup transcripts when you're considering who to vote for. You only look at their vote on passage on things.
The truth of the
votes are about campaigning.
The truth of the matter is that Democrats tried in every way. They worked with Olympia Snowe. They worked with Ted Grassley. They worked on the Max Baucus did everything he could to bring along Republicans. They actually stabbed him in the back. They agreed to certain things. They said, just put this in, just put this in, just put this in, and then we'll vote it out of committee. And then they stabbed him in the back because he put in their amendments and they still didn't vote it out of committee.
Well, you know, I mean, clearly the Republicans have caved to pressure with the highest tax rate in a very similar process with this. This bill is not what real conservatives, you know, want and what it was originally envisioned as too. And yet for their trouble, they're getting, you know, told constantly that it's for the rich when that is not at all the case.
Well, that's a debate that we'll have on a different show because I disagree with you, but I don't want it to go on here. But I want to leave with this, you know, I want to come back to your first point, Molly, which I think, again, is a point worth discussing and debating. You said, rightfully so, that for the most part, Obamacare was passed along party lines, and it was, I believe at the time they said, 1/6 of the United States budget. And therefore, isn't that too big a slice of the American economy? Excuse me, 1/6 of the economy, not the budget. And isn't that too big a slice of the American economy to rewrite along partisan lines? Well, the tax code is 100% of the United States economy. It's not 1/6 of it.
No.
It's all of it.
Of the budget, not of the economy. 85% of the economy is private consumption.
Which is taxed. Come on. So my point is
except for private jets, that you can write those off now.
That if you're going to do something that is so large in scale that it's going to touch every portion of the economy – in every conceivable way, which the tax code does, you need more than a strictly partisan line. Let's look back at history. Don't believe me. Look at history. Reagan, 1986 tax cut, got 30 Democratic votes. The 1981 Reagan tax cut got 37 Democratic votes in the Senate. The Bush tax cuts of 01. Guess how many Democrats voted for the Bush tax cuts in 01, Molly?
I don't remember. I had babies.
DJ would know.
I know. Yes. 12. 12 Senate Democrats joined with Republicans. And you know who voted against the 1981 Bush tax cuts on the Republican side? Greg, take a
John
guess. McCain. Who voted against them?
Republicans?
I was going to say McCain.
Yeah, I was going to say McCain.
John
Maverick.
McCain.
Of course. McCain's.
John McCain. So don't be surprised if history repeats
itself. He's a maverick and he's a curmudgeon and he probably is just didn't even know which room he was in.
And even in 1983, to renew and extend the Bush tax cuts, two Democrats joined with Republicans to push it through. So, again, the idea that the Republican Party, the reconciliation vote, a 50 vote versus 60 vote, plurality, majority, should push this through. I think it's going to backfire against them in a big way. If they do nothing.
But so,
can we honestly say that we'll ever, in this political climate, can we ever say that we'll ever get 12 Democrats on something like this?
No.
So
no,
you take what
probably
you can
not,
get,
but you
can, and
but
in
you
fact,
can get five.
You think
you could get five?
You can get two.
I could write
maybe
this bill.
Two.
You could get.
No,
you get Manchin
and to be quite honest, to be
I
quite
could take
honest,
the bill that you've got now, I can make some subtle tweaks to it that Republicans would be okay with, and I can get you 5 or 10 Democratic votes.
Not in this environment. Can make one tweet.
No, and to be quite honest, not in this environment. This is
toxic. I'll tell you how you do it. I'll tell you how you do it.
Please.
Right now, the whole bill is. The fulcrum of the bill is the 20% corporate tax cut. All of the other crap that they are forcing into this bill is to try to pay for the 20% corporate tax cut and for doing away with the estate tax. Okay?
Sure.
If you just did two things, One is don't do away with the estate tax, just raise the caps to $10 million for an individual and $20 million for a couple. Okay?
Okay.
And secondly, make the corporate tax, take it from its current 35%, take it to 23%. That's still a huge cut in corporate taxes that can still have a very positive effect on the economy and grow GDP. If you only went to 23 instead of 20, you don't need to do all this other stuff. You don't need to repeal the Obamacare mandate. You don't need to take away the tax break for state and local taxes. You don't need some of the other really small things that begin, that frankly, some of them are just spiteful towards Democrats. But this thing could be an amazing bipartisan success story if Republicans would just not be so dead, so stubborn about this stupid estate tax, which everyone knows is unfair. If you repeal the thing entirely, it's unfair. It gives the Trump family a $2 to $4 tax benefit, and it gives other billionaires a half a billion to a billion or more tax cut for no reason at all.
The way I see it is Republicans feel that they can get this through without any Democratic support.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So why not get some of those things that they want and be a little spiteful too?
Because the bill is going to be terrible for Americans. You know what? Unfortunately,
since when has that mattered to Congress?
In a country
Like I said, in this toxic environment,
in a country of 250 million voters, this bill is going to hurt at least 200 million of them. They're just not informed enough or smart enough to know it.
I agree. Like, we've looked at Kansas before. I mean, this is Kansas all over again, except on a nationwide scale. Okay. I mean,
I want to be fair.
It's not Kansas.
To wrap this up.
It is Kansas.
This up,
There's not that many cuts.
This is Carry On, My Wayward Son. This is Kansas's greatest hits. Oh,
yeah, I like the joke. Hey, before we wrap up, we'll see what ends up. No, I want to before we wrap up. I have to go back to Molly because I have been, you know, I have been sprouting my Kevin Kelton stuff for the last 5 minutes. Molly, tell us why I'm wrong. Seriously, tell us why I'm wrong.
Molly, in the world of DJ Maguire, tells Kevin why he's wrong.
You mean why you're wrong about what? About
the effect of the tax bill.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, because it's just not that big. They didn't get what they wanted. It's not that big of a change. There's not that many cuts. I mean, the stuff about the. Yes, it will hurt mostly rich people in the high tax states on both coasts. But you know, but this charge that it's going after the middle class is ridiculous.
It is hurting the high tax state. It will hurt me. I will lose that deduction, and it's going to depress the value of my home. I'm really not happy about those two facets of this.
Okay. Well, I wanted to give Molly the last word, but it didn't work out that way. But
Molly likes me. Listen, we'll be exchanging recipes later in the day. Just you wait, because she doesn't know it yet, but she needs my stuffing recipe for Thanksgiving.
Oh, I do.
Does it have clams in it?
No.
Oh, I would love to trade Thanksgiving recipes, but we are so far beyond out of time here that I want to thank everyone for listening. I really want to, you know, say again that if you're listening to this and you think that we're yelling at each other, sometimes we do raise our voices, but we all like each other here. Please don't think that, that this was some type of scratch your eyes out kind of debate. We're all friends. Thanks for listening.
It's not.
Please
follow
on Twitter at MPU Podcast and on Facebook at facebook.com/MorePerfectUnionPodcast and share our link on your Facebook timeline so your friends can discover us as well. And by the way, if you like discussing politics, we have a little Facebook group that I plugged at the beginning of the show, Open Fire Politics. We're all there. We're there. I'm there every day. Some of us are there more than others, but there's 11,000 people in the group discussing politics. It's one of the best places on Facebook to discuss politics. So if you'd like to make your voice heard, please join Open Fire Politics, and we're there. We'd love to hear from you. And we also have a sister group called Open Fire Sex, where you can discuss Al Franken and all the other sex scandals that happened this week, and also just anything that comes to mind that you want to discuss about your love life or your lack of a love life. And with that...
That's a terribly boring discussion.
The last thing I want to do is...
What are you watching on Netflix?
And we want to thank Bob Crespo for our new opening guitar riff, which comes from his single, Believe in Me. And we have his other music posted on our MorePerfectUnionPodcast.com website, so please look for that there. And with that, what do you guys have on tap for Thanksgiving?
Turkey.
Well, most people are making their lists of what they're thankful for. I'm going to be making my list of people who should have resigned.
Oh, awesome.